James chapter 5 and verse 12, just one verse this morning, to start with anyway. Devastated-looking man knocked on the door of a woman known for her charity. "Please, ma'am," he said when she opened up, "can you help this poor, tragic family down the block? The father just lost his job. His wife, too ill to work. The kids are hungry. If somebody doesn't step forward and pay their rent, they're going to be put out into the cold streets." "Well, that's the worst thing I've ever heard," said the woman. "And may I ask, who are you?" He said, "I'm their landlord." This morning, we're going to be talking about personal integrity. Personal integrity. Trust is something you accumulate and earn by being honest and trustworthy in your dealings with others. When your trust account is full, life goes pretty well. But when it's low, even simple things become a struggle. James chapter 5 and verse 12. "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned." Father, help us. All of us need help with our integrity. All of us learn to just nip off a corner here or there. We become accustomed to our isms. And we give ourselves a lot of slack. There's a big difference between the grace of God and the grace we afford ourselves. The grace of God helps us to be better. Our grace covers over our errors and sins in such a way that they persist and even deepen with time. We don't want that, God. Fungus grows there. Uncover it, God. Expose our shortcomings so that they might be healed, forgiven, that we might be improved. That's why we're in the Word this morning, God. That's why we've come. Part of the reason we came. Improve us through your Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to skip this verse because we've been in James for a while. And I like to preach in series, and I thought, let's get to the next series. Let's see what else God has for us. So we'll just skip this verse, and we'll get on with what else James has to say. But these two words stopped me dead in my tracks. He said, above all. More important than anything else I've told you in this whole epistle, James says, this stands out. Above all. So he's considering this the most important thing that he's talked about throughout his whole letter to Christians. I didn't agree with him after just a casual reading. I thought, how in the world is this verse more important than the other stuff we've already talked about and some dynamic stuff that is supposed to come after this? But then as I thought about it, James, brother of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, maybe he knows a little bit more than I do. And so I sat back into it, and God, show me. Why is this verse so important in all of this epistle? James' statement here is, do not swear. Don't swear by heaven or by earth or anything in the earth or under the earth. Just don't swear by things. And my response to that is fine. I don't do that anyway. And so I promise I will never swear by heaven above that I stole your cookies. So if we could all just agree this morning, we're not going to swear by heaven or the temple or anything else, we could just move on to the next verse, right? Now, I do understand that the Jews seem to have had a problem with this whole swearing thing. They had this intricate system of swearing. Because if you look into the Old Testament, you will see that Moses says to Achan, you know, swear under God. Swear by God Almighty. Come clean with the truth. They did some swearing in the Old Testament. It seemed to be a godly thing. But the Jews corrupted the whole system, and they made it about their wording rather than about the truth. The way you swore made a big difference in whether it was truthful or not. For example, if you swore by the temple, your oath was not binding. I swear by the temple of the living God. It was like having their fingers crossed behind their back. But if you swore by the gold in the temple, then your oath was binding. Isn't that kind of ridiculous? So if you're talking to a man dressed in religious robes who is selling you a mule, and he were to say to you, I swear by the temple of the living God that this mule is only 2 years old, wouldn't you feel fairly confident he's selling you a two-year-old mule? And wouldn't you feel a little uncomfortable by examining his teeth? The mule, not the rabbi. So the purpose of the false oath is to keep you from examining the evidence because, you know, I swear by the temple of the living God. He's cheating you. And he's bringing the temple into the issue. So because of these convoluted rules about oaths, he ripped you off, but in his mind, it's your fault because you didn't know the oath rules. I didn't swear by the gold. I just swore by the temple. And what it came down to was glorified lying. And Jesus blows the whole thing up in his Sermon on the Mount. It's pretty amazing because, like I said, in the Old Testament, they used to swear about things. They used to put them under oath in God's name. And then Jesus comes along and says, I'm telling you, don't even swear at all. Why in the world would he undo something that was done in the Old Testament? Because it had become such a corrupted system. He's saying, you know what? Forget about it. You guys, you took an inch and you made a mile out of it. It's completely out of context and it's been so corrupted. We have to just come up with a new system. We have to wash that one away. So, swearing, Jesus said, forget about it. And James echoes that statement here in our text. Socially acceptable lying is a stain on the whole society. So to the Jews, Jesus said, do not swear. Get rid of the system altogether. What would he say to us? What would he say to the United States of America, to us as citizens, as part of this society? I wonder if he wouldn't say different things to those of us who are in different kinds of industry or work. Perhaps to the athlete, he would say, beating the system isn't the same as passing a drug test. Perhaps to a salesperson, he might say, stop quoting only the convenient stats about your product and tell the whole story. Speak the truth. Not just what makes you a good commission, but what the client would like to hear. You see, when you're pressed between a commission and a sale, the truth can become very elastic. And at first, it may be very hard to fool somebody. But after a couple of thin paychecks and after the bills begin to pile up and you learn the trade from those who know how to make the money, the truth can become ever more elastic. So in general, stop telling people what they want to hear or only what you want them to know. Tell the truth. And James has a very good reason why we ought to tell the truth. He says, or you will be condemned. Did you notice that James pulls that line out a lot? Talking about the things we say, the things we do, and now our personal integrity, or you will be condemned. So which is it? Is it grace or is it law? James is laying some laws down here for us, and he's saying, you know what? You don't do right. God is going to get you. Was James telling us the truth or not? It's part of the Word of God. And James is basically telling us, if you feel like you received the grace of God and it's not showing up in your character, you're a fool. You're going to be condemned. If you've received the power of Christ in your life so that it has washed and cleansed you, it's going to make a difference in the way you talk, in the things you do, in the way you work, in the way you earn a paycheck. Christians ought to stand out from the crowd, not just because they wear witness wear, but because of their character and the things they do. And James is saying, if you're the kind of Christian who feels like it's no big deal that you withhold the truth, that you fashion it in such a way that benefits you, you're in really big trouble. You got to get back to the cross and say, God, I don't care what it costs me. I want to be right with you, and I want to be clean with my fellow man. So it comes down to, who do you fear more? God in heaven, who sees and knows everything, or reprisals on earth, the loss of a sale, a position, a possession, or a reputation? You cannot lie your way to a good reputation. There are a lot of folk, they just keep digging deeper and deeper. Well, one more lie to cover the last one, and one after that, and then the next one. And the first lie worked so well, they think they can build a life on that. But sooner or later, it all comes crashing in. You can't talk your way into personal integrity. You have to live it. You just have to be it. You have to be in hot water and still tell the truth. You have to be uncomfortable but stand for what is right. You have to stand alone sometimes but still stand for the Lord. That's how personal integrity gets built, one layer after another. My brother was the youngest top salesman in Hewlett-Packard. And I asked him one day, I said, well, what's your secret? He said, I tell the truth. If there's another company that offers a product better than the one I'm offering, I'll give them the card of the salesman. And more often than not, people will say to me, that's all right, we'd rather work with you anyway. And John often lost a sale, but he always gained a friend, and he built up integrity. He became very good friends with the other salesmen from the other companies. What's your secret? I tell the truth. Profound, isn't it? That's not the way he was trained. That was not the skill of most salesmen. Bob Klein tells me the same thing. He's been top salesman at Transplant many times. And he said, you know, I tell these young guys, they're always saying, Bob, what's your secret? What do you do? How do I get more sales? He says, tell the truth. Learn what the customer needs and give the customer what they really need. Don't try to give them a bunch of stuff because you got extra or whatever else. Just learn your customer and treat them right. But everybody's looking for a shortcut. Now remember, James is calling this the most important thing he has to share. And he's already talked about patience, endurance, equality, humility, and perseverance. He says, above all, keep your nose clean. Above all, maintain your personal integrity. Why is that? If the vessel is dirty, no one wants to drink from it. Have you had some friends at work or in the neighborhood or maybe even in your family? And they're very expressive about faith in Jesus Christ. But their life stinks. And you find yourself in your heart of hearts saying, I wish you'd just shut up. Either get your life in line where it needs to be or shut up. You are teaching everybody a false religion. You're using the right name, but you're living the wrong life. I had a friend in high school. I witnessed to him one time. We were alone on the porch waiting for the activity bus. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And my first, a smile broke over my head. I said, well, praise God. And then I, without thinking, the smile turned into a frown. I said, wait a minute. But you're always cursing and you're always doing this and you're always doing that. And the kid's head just got lower and lower and lower. And I wasn't meaning to heap condemnation on him. But, you know, he told me he was a member of his youth group and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I said, well, wait a second. Then why this and why that? I hope it did him good in the long run. And I wasn't trying to be pharisaical at all. But it just really astounded me that this young man called himself a Christian and was continuing to live a life like that. Now, that doesn't happen today, right? We've learned better. You go on Facebook and you look at everybody's page and they have claimed to be a Christian. And so everything's Christian, right? That's the way it works. My wife keeps pointing, I'm not on Facebook, she is, but she keeps pointing out, she says, look at this. They have this about Jesus in this corner, but look at everything else that's on their page. And my wife usually loses a night's sleep over that. And yikes. Personal integrity. Above all, personal integrity. Do not put Jesus on your Facebook if he's not in your heart. Don't advertise him like he's Coca-Cola or he's a trip to the Bahamas. Don't think you're scoring points with him when you're mucking up the rest of the page. He'd rather not you mention him at all than pollute him. Get your life right. And then when the vessel is clean, then give him the glory for it. But don't think you're covering up your own sin by a little religious talk on your page. Doesn't work that way. In prayer this morning, Wade was praying. We were praying for Jerusalem and the Jewish people and for their salvation and for God's protection on them and so on. And he said something that I found profound. He said, they love their religion. They love what they do, but they do not love their God. And I thought, man, that stings a little bit. Do we love what we do? We love our worship. We love our thing, church thing. We love naming his name. We pray to him when we're in trouble, but otherwise we'd just as soon be in charge of our own life. Above all, personal integrity makes the difference. How often have you heard the phrase, and they call themselves a Christian? Lack of personal integrity taints anything good you have to say. I love this line. God can forgive your sins in a moment, but there's no such thing as instant credibility. He can forgive your sin in an instant, but there's no such thing as instant credibility. That's why the most powerful witness there is the day after day, day in, day out, living with someone, them seeing everything that you're going through. The guy that knocks on your door and says, hey, I'm from such and such church, just wanted to let you know Jesus loves you. That's nice. But I don't think that's going to change anybody's life unless they're already attached to a real believer that they've watched for a while. The world needs a witness from seasoned, mature, faithful believers. Truth coming from a person of integrity. You know, the world has enough hypocrites, amen? The world has enough hypocrites that the average person on the street automatically dismisses anything they hear about Jesus or the church. They can reference so many people that have gotten it wrong. But one true tested believer can cut through all of that. They cannot dismiss you if they've worked beside you for 10, 15, 20 years. And they've seen you stay true through the ups and the downs. You've earned the right to be heard, and you've earned the right to be believed, so much so that even though they laugh on a daily basis about the things of God, when they get in trouble, they'll seek you out. I don't have to listen to anything Ralph says. He cheats on his wife. Who is he to tell me about God? I'm not listening to Lucy. Whew. She curses like a drunken sailor. Oh, delightful most days, but boy, one thing goes wrong and she takes off like a rocket. But when they have a woman like Jesus' mother, or a man like Jeremiah the prophet of old, when they have a person like that in their life day after day, they know there's a God, and they know that person is related to him. He or she becomes the local temple others run to whenever they need to find God. Okay, Pastor, you're so smart. You have no idea what it's like in my industry. What am I supposed to do when my back is up against the wall, the mortgage needs paid, and I need a sale? It says in verse 13, if anyone among you is in trouble, they should pray. What should I do? My back is against the wall. I could just do this and money will come in. But not doing that, we might be that family out on the street. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Now, as you all probably already know, in the original, there were no verse breaks. There wasn't a 1, 2, 3. There were no paragraph breaks even. There were no chapters or verses. It's just all one flow. So what James is pointing out here is, maintain your personal integrity above everything else. If that gets you in trouble, and it will every once in a while, pray. Don't compromise. Pray. Don't play the hypocrite. Don't be the chameleon. Pray. Entrust yourself to God. Don't swear. Don't make something out to be as if it isn't. Speak the truth in love and commend yourself to the hands of God. He dresses the lilies. He feeds the birds. Take heart. You are worth many birds to God. He'll take care of us when we stand with the truth. Will you be tested? Yes. Will you become top salesman? I have no idea. You might even lose a job or two. But God will take care of you. He has promised to do so. And James reminds us, above all, earn, maintain, and keep your personal integrity. There may even be an instance or two when lying really looks like the truth, and you're the only one that knows it's a lie. But you're still to tell the truth. You're still to stand for what is right. Whistleblowers rarely get promoted. But please remember this. A couple dollars in your hand is not worth selling your soul. There aren't enough zeros behind a number that would be worth selling your soul. A chance at a dream job isn't worth it. Getting what you think you want, what you think you need, isn't always the best thing. And please catch this, because we've gotten this wrong in the church. Just because you make some money at something doesn't mean it's a sign from God. We can do this and we'll make a lot of money. Oh, isn't God good? Hasn't God blessed us? Well, if we use that logic, casinos make a lot of money, don't they? Is that of God? Filthy movies make a lot of money. Are they of God? When you need something, pray. You need a job? You need a different job. You need to pay some bills? Pray. God's not a genie that you rub the lamp. You pray in the evening and by morning it's there. Sometimes it is. But if you make him your priority, if you make personal integrity your lifestyle, God will always show up for you. I am living proof of what God has done in my life. Not living proof of this is a great example of personal integrity, but this is a great example of how God takes care of his own. You've heard this before. It can take a lifetime to build a good reputation, but it only takes a moment to destroy it. Guard, build, cherish personal integrity. Don't reach out for oaths to take. Stay calm, speak the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You understand this principle. Somebody tells you something, you look at the person. You pass it on to somebody else. Well, who told you that? Well, I don't know if I'd believe anything they have to say. But if you reference the right person, then it must be true. What kind of quality have you built into your life? Refuse to misrepresent a product or a situation for financial gain. Maintain your integrity. Jesus did. He could have said just the right things in front of the high priest and avoided the cross. He could have said just the right things to Pilate and gone free. He maintained his personal integrity. So when he looks at his children, he can say, above all, do what's right. Speak the truth. And then we are truly children of God. Would you stand with me? Above all, he thought about us first. We need to think about him. So, Father, you've been so good to hear our prayer. We cried out in repentance. We knew we were filthy. And you washed us clean with your own blood. And then we thought it some small thing to put your name on our life, but collect again to ourselves those same old sins and ways of the world. We smile and call ourselves a Christian as we go to church and call everybody brother and sister. Then we go to school or we go to work and we just want to blend in. We just want to get along. You know how hard it is, God, when we're faced with that stuff. Don't want to stick out. Don't want to offend anybody. Don't want to be rude. Certainly don't want to look like a Pharisee. We wouldn't want that. And Lord, I'm afraid that sometimes the best intended among us learn to blend in a little too much. We're sorry, first of all, not because of the whole condemned thing. Yes, that's huge. We're sorry, God, because you are our best friend. And we're embarrassed to treat you in such a contemptuous way. We do wear your name, and we bring you dishonor when we act poorly. And this really goes beyond our witness to who we are. We want to be brave. We want to have courage. We want to be courageous. We want to be like you. We don't want to be wimps. We don't want to be melting all the time. We don't want to be giving up and giving in. We don't want to laugh at that stuff that isn't even funny. We don't want to care about friendship with the world. Would you please help us this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit? Would you go with us and change us, Lord God? It's not going to make a big difference just tomorrow, but as we live it. And Lord, I've learned so much in my life I can't do, and this is one of them. I need your help with this. I can only ask you to help me. I need you to open the door of my heart. I need you to change me from the inside out. Lord, I yield to you. I cooperate with you. But Lord, wash us again, we pray. And Lord, wherever we work, whoever we're beside, even if it's in a church, help us to be a godly person. And not give the enemy an inch. All those godly people in Israel, they came up with oaths, and it all got corrupted and it stunk. And Christian people can become the worst. But Christian people should be the best. Would you turn our ship around? Clean our mouths, our hearts, our minds, our lives. May we not be duplicitous in ourselves, God, double-minded, playing two different roles, living in two different worlds. We choose Christ because for reasons we cannot explain, Christ chose us. And we step out from among them and choose to be separate unto you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.